our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand. Get along there.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every time we come on this broadcast, we always come on, you know, giving our Father in heaven glory and honor and praise. For the mighty God that he is, man, we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that loves us so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, as I think of his goodness and his kindness and his grace and his mercy and his love toward his children, as I come to the knowledge and understanding of it, you know, and see the one songwriter wrote and said this, who can fathom the depths of his love? You say, boy, I stand in awe of you. And time to do the same thing, Lord. I stand in awe of God. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You're beautiful beyond description. And I stand in awe of you. You're a mighty God. There's none like you, my Father, in all the earth. For you have done great things that our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, nor has it entered into our heart. Even the thing that our eyes have seen and our ears have heard, and that have entered into our heart, are great things. But then you go on to say, boy, our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard. The half has not even been told of your grace and your mercy. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. There's none like you, Father. None like you. None like you in all the earth. You declare the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things of old. And what's most important, Father, your counsel is going to stand. There's not a word that have gone forth out of your mouth, Father, that's going to return to you, Lord. It's going to accomplish that which you sent it to do, Father. You're a mighty God. You're a mighty God, Father. You're a mighty God. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Father, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. And you showed your love for us that even while we were yet in our sins, you hung, bled, and died. You gave yourself for us. You redeemed us. You restored us back into our original place and purpose and destiny that you have for our lives. You've done that, Father. You declared the end from the beginning. You finished first, and then you started. The very fact that you have started, Father, is an indication that you who have begun a good work on the inside of us, you will complete it. And for that, we say thank you. We love you, Lord. Now, Father, I would ask that you would speak through these lips of clay to minister that love to your people, my Father, that you would draw us nearer to you. So that, Father, we might know you much more than we do. So that we can love you much more than we do. So that we can serve you, my Father, much more than we do. Teach us your precepts. Hallelujah. Teach us, Father, your precepts so that we may understand what you're doing in the earth. And we say, Father, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in our lives here on earth just as it is in heaven. Now, once again, give us this day our daily bread. Feed us till we want no more. And as always, Father, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And so shall it be. Praise the Lord, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, once again, what an honor. What a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through the radio waves and broadcasts and just share with y'all the greatest story that has ever been told. An end time message. A message that sums up all the messages. Well, it's the greatest message that's ever been told. You hear me say that all the time. Boy, it's the greatest story. It's the greatest message. It's the main event. Boy, and it's called the gospel of the kingdom. What they are, the gospel of the kingdom. And what would I think about what God raised us? He gave us all gifts and talents and everything. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he's steady progressing on toward the finished product. You know what the finished product is? You and I, and just like him, created in his image and his likeness and ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our lives here on the earth forever and ever and ever. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. For everything that he's doing, everything that he's molding and shaping and working on is a means to that end. That's the destination. What's the destination, Arthur? That we just like our Father in heaven. Just like him. Just like him in character. Just like him in nature. Just like him in likeness. Functioning. Walking, talking, acting. Being. Behaving. His likeness. Just like him. Same attributes. Listen, if you take a large pitcher of water, and you take a small cup, and you pour into that small cup some of that water that's in that pitcher, the same ingredients that's in that water that's in that little cup is the same ingredients that's in the big pitcher. It's just a little part that comes from the big pitcher. It's just a part of the big picture. It comes from the big picture. But it has the same ingredients. The water that's in that cup has the same ingredients as the water that's in that big picture. It's just like it. It just comes from it. That's how God created us. That's the destination. Same thing. One just the big picture, and one just the water in the big picture, and one just the water in the little picture. We the water in the little picture that spring off from the big picture. Once again, same ingredients that's in that big picture is what's in that little cup. Just like it. That's how God created you and I. That's God's desire for you and I, that we be just like him. Just like him. And let me tell you something, boy. He going to have what he desires. His counsel going to stand. He going to get what he wants. In fact, he already got it. He's just processing man through it. I told you, boy, he's the only God, boy, that can finish before he start. Ain't no God like that. I'm going to say that again, boy. He finished before he start. What you mean after he finished before he start? First thing he do is speak what he wants. And once he speak it, man, it don't matter whether it's in manifestation, boy, in the seen realm. Boy, it's in manifestation in the spiritual realm. It's a done deal, even before you see it. That's what faith is, the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things yet not seen. What it is, Arthur, boy, that's when he said it, that's it. When he said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, that's the finish. Listen, that's, he's speaking the end. And then he back all the way back up and start and form a body from the dust of the ground and form and come and breathe and go through. And you know the story. But the very fact that he said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, boy, his counsel going to stand. Heaven and earth don't pass away, but the word of the Lord, man, it's going to stand. Well, I discovered something. I discovered, boy, listen, not just the power that's in God's word, but I discovered, boy, the life that's in God. What, Arthur? The life. What kind of life is that, Arthur? Zoe, what the Greek word say. What kind of life is Zoe life? The God kind of life. Life the way God lives. And life the way God intended for you and I to live, intended for you and I to live, still intend for you and I to live. That's in his intentions for you and I. Well, the same kind of life, just like he lived. The God kind of life. We call it, a man in our ministry, man, kingdom life. But then let me tell you something, that's a royal life. Because you are the royal family. Just like here in the United States and then over there in Great Britain, man, you know, you got the royal family. And then you got, man, all the other people around the other continent like the United States. We just regular people, man. But over there, boy, you got the royal family. Then you just got the citizens. Well, we're not careful, boy, we be thinking ourselves as just a citizen, when all the time, boy, we are the royal family, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, or watch this, a royal priesthood. What kind of priesthood? A royal priesthood. Not just priests, but kings and queens. Hello. What? What's that all about? My kingdom life. In religion, you live like citizens and members of a church. In the kingdom, you live like sons and daughters of the Most High God, kings and queens, ambassadors of God's kingdom, sons and daughters of the Most High God. All those other titles like Christian and Baptist and Methodist and all that, they're all good, but boy, let me tell you something. One day all that's going to be done away with. But them ones that I just named to you, boy, that's eternal. That's forever. That's going to be forever. That's who you are forever. One day there's going to be no more need for Baptist and Methodist and Catholic and Church of God in Christ and Muslims and Hindus. One day all that's going to be done away with. But Son of God, daughter of the Most High God, ambassador of the kingdom of hell, kings and queens in the kingdom of God, That's eternal. That's forever. And boy, if you're not careful, boy, we get preoccupied, man, with all the means to that. All the things that, man, we are going through the dispensations in which God deal with mankind. If we get preoccupied with the means and then never, boy, you know, chart your course toward the destination. What's the destination of the boy? We just like him. We created in his image and his likeness. I'm going to say it again. We just like him. Now, in order to listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, you got to hear that, and hear that, and hear that, and hear that, and hear that. How long, Arthur? Forever. But just think, man, if the gospel of the kingdom, like what I think I share with you, boy, if, man, if all ministers, man, were preaching that, and listen, and all their magnificent sermons, man, that they have, that the Holy Ghost has ministered through their ministry and everything else, boy, if all of them, man, were preaching that, man, in the light of the kingdom of God. Allah. For the last 2,000 years. If we'd been preaching, man, the same thing Jesus was preaching instead of our own messages. And our own messages are good messages. But when Jesus told the disciples to go, he said, go and preach this message. What you mean? Because he said, I know y'all got your own messages and everything else, and your own messages are good and everything else. But he didn't tell me to go and just preach. He said, go preach this message. He said, this message shall be preached in all the world as a testimony. Then the end gonna come. Meaning there are a lot of messages, but he's talking about a specific one. Which one is that, Arthur? That's the one that he preached. Boy, he come back telling you some different things than what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were saying. And what all the pagan religions of that day and time and any time were saying. His message was totally different. I used to wonder why he never did join the religious order of his time, the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And in fact, they were in opposition of what he was doing. They became, boy, the ones who became his greatest enemy. They the ones, man, who so say, if I could say it that way for the time being, you know, that boy, there was inspiration in his crucifixion, in his death. It was those who wanted to get rid of him. And listen, that was his own. He came to his own, but his own received him not. That's deep right there, you know. And that word have need of some water to be added on. But the point of the matter is, boy, this gospel. What gospel? The gospel, man, about, man, the kingdom of God. What's the gospel about the kingdom of God, boy? What God is doing. What God is doing. Listen, once again, what God is doing. Thank God for what we're doing. Thank God for what you're doing out there. And you mean we're and everything else. But, boy, if you get what you're doing and what we're doing, if we can get that in on what God is doing, instead of trying to get God in on what we are doing, I'm going to say that again, boy. It's all those good things that we are doing, man, for God and for the kingdom of God. If we get that in on what he is doing, how you going to get that in on what he is doing? You got to come to the knowledge of what he is doing. How you come to the knowledge of what he is doing? He said it in his word. If you seek first the kingdom of God, he told them, boy, that the kingdom of heaven was near. But he gave them specific instructions. That's your inheritance. That belongs to you. And if you want to get that, then you seek first not the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first to find out what God is doing. You go to God and say, Lord, not my will, not my desire, Lord, but your will and your kingdom come. In other words, Lord, what you doing? Show me what you're doing. David said it this way, boy. David said, Lord, show me your precepts. What's your intent? What's your original intent? What's your purpose? What you doing, Lord? I'm not coming to you to ask you to help me, man, in what I'm doing. I'm coming to you, Lord, and to say, Lord, how can I help you in what you're doing? Glory to God. Well, that's seeking first the kingdom of God. go out to God that way, boy, you become a God chaser. I promise you, boy, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else, I'm talking about everything else that pertains to this life and godliness that I'm talking about, those things will be added unto you. But they ain't going to be added unto us if we ain't seeking first the kingdom of God, if you ain't in on what God is doing. If you ain't on what God is doing, well, you see from all your work, you don't worry about, man, what you, how you going to make it or none of that, boy. Your heavenly Father, you know something. You know something, man, deep down on the inside of us, boy, that Christians, and sometimes, man, they might know it intellectually, but they don't know it deep down on the inside of them, boy, that let me tell you something, everything all right. Boy, let me tell you something. How would you feel if you knew? I'm talking about know that everything is all right, no matter what, boy. How would you feel if you knew that? Just food for thought. And know what God wants. God wants you to feel that way. But the only way you can feel that way, you got to know that everything is all right. Only way you come to the knowledge and know that everything all right, you got to be seeking first the kingdom, man, of God and his righteousness. Not your righteousness. Not your goody-goody two-shoes. Not your good works. Not your good acts. Not your good deeds, not that, but his way of putting you in right standings with him. Boy, you go out there like that, I guarantee you, boy, you seek, you'll find. If you ask him, man, you receive, you knock, every door will be open. You asking and seeking and knocking, but you're asking and seeking and knocking perhaps amiss. The Bible says, well, in the wrong way. You ain't seeking his will for your life. You're not seeking your will. And perhaps what you think is his will for your life. Well, boy, I told you, boy, who can fathom the depth of his love? Who can grasp his infinite wisdom? The best we could come up with, boy, is a joke. Our eyes ain't seen and our ears ain't heard. We just going from glory to glory to glory, growing and growing in the knowledge of God about who we really are in Christ Jesus. If I can say it this way, boy, for the information and the knowledge that where we are in Christ, man, we're just little bitty babies. What are you talking about? I'm talking about all of us. Compared to, man, the growth and that's available to us and who we really are and how we're responding and acting on the earth as the church I'm talking about. We're just little bitty babies. Let me say something right here. And the heir of God, see, all them things I've been telling you about, man, you, all the kingdom of heaven and everything else, that's our inheritance, and it really is. Well, let me tell you something. An heir, as long as he is a child, is no different than a servant. Watch this. But he's under governor and tutoring until the appointed time. And when the appointed time comes, what he's on? He's on the governor and tutor until the appointed time, until the time of maturity. God don't just squander all your riches and blessings upon you if you don't know how to handle. But you're on the governor and tutor, right? So that you can grow up, so that you can learn some things, so that you can come to the knowledge of who you really are and where you come from and why you're really here and what you really can do. And where you're really going to end up at. And as you grow in the knowledge of that, you're growing into a level of maturity as you come to the knowledge of who you really are. Then you stop dying, living and dying like mere men and mere women, and you start living, man, and transforming as sons and daughters of the Most High God, living in the everlasting life, knowing that you ain't never going to die, that one day there's going to be not a termination of life, but a transition of our life. Well, we're going to leave you these old shacks that we're living in, these old bodies that we're living in. They're getting older. They're getting decayed. And from the dust they came, and from the dust they're going to go back to. But you got everlasting life. Listen, in seeking the kingdom of God, boy, you come to the knowledge of that. What? That everything is all right. That your life is hid in him. When you get in on what he's doing, when you come to the knowledge of what he's doing and get in on that, then you cease from your work. The Bible called it a rest. He said, "That remaineth a rest for my people." that they have not yet entered into. Well, they cease from their works and they enter into a completed work. You put your life then on the potter's wheel, you know, and can the clay say to the potter, why are you moving this way? In other words, boy, once you put yourself on the potter's wheel, then you don't have no more control over your life. An 8-ounce glass can't tell the manufacturer, man, hey, I want to be a 16-ounce glass. No, it's in the hands of the potter or the manufacturer. They make it how they want it to be. The 8-ounce glass, the 16-ounce glass ain't got no say-so in the matter. It's in the hands of the potter or the maker. Boy, when you put your life, I ain't talking about saying this song and quoting it. I'm talking about really understand what's going on and realize that, boy, your life is hid in Christ and that you're on the potter's wheel. And that, boy, he molding and shaping your life. And unless he build a house, unless he molding and shaping, because he molding and shaping, he going to mold and shape it according to his perfection. And his perfection, boy, just like him. And he showed it to us, boy, so that we could see it in these natural eyes in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So that when he walked this earth, boy, I'm talking about, boy, we saw the glory of God. That which we have seen, old John saying, that which we have handled, and that which, boy, we have heard and our hands have touched, boy, of what author? Of the word of life. Hallelujah. Of what author? Of the word of life. These ain't no message. These ain't no sermons. These ain't no story. These ain't no teaching. This is the word of life. It's not the word of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin Council and Nicodemus and all the rabbis and the pastors and the popes and the preachers and bishops and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And they thank God for their word, but this ain't that word, boy. That's the word alive here. It's a different word. Ain't no man spoke like this man before. He speak with authority. Boy, it's the word of life. What life you talking about, boy? I'm talking about, boy, the life of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And boy, in him was life. In who? In the word. Was what are the life? And that life that's in that word, that Zoe life, that kingdom life, boy, that's in that word, that life in the absolute sense. Life the way God lives, and life the way God intended for us. That life, boy, Jesus Christ come and bring to us and get us back into it, restore it back to us. We had it in Adam in one time in the garden in Genesis 1 and 2. God lost it. God come looking for it himself, found it himself, redeemed his life from that destruction that he found it in, and restored it, man, back to, boy, what it is. That's the gospel of the kingdom, man. Well, to where you was living, man, in the Garden of Eden, man, in Genesis 1 and 2. Just thinking we've been taught that all these last 1,800 years. We're just not beginning to come to the knowledge of, we're just not getting into the main event. And I can't say, man, you know, because I don't have that much information or authority to claim that I know, boy, everything, how God is doing things. But, man, let me tell you something. Well, I know this, that, boy, I say this, because all the other messages, like I said one time on the broadcast, perhaps could be preliminary bouts that leads up to the main event. So I never say none of that was wrong, what was going on and what has been going on. All that was just, if I could say it this way, just line up on line, precept upon precept. Boy, going from glory to glory to glory. And, oh, boy, ever since I heard this over 30 years ago, I don't know how long, 20 years ago, boy, my sister had let go of our ministry over there in Houston, Texas, boy. They spoke a word into our lives and say, boy, there's a going on in God. I'm talking about we can't become complacent and know where you are in Christ until you reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. Until you reach, boy, what I told you in the beginning of this broadcast, that you just like him. Just like him in character and nature. Until we reach that mark. That's what Paul meant when he said, I keep pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, boy, to be just like my father. What did he say? He thought it not robbery, boy, to be equal with God. Like I told you, to come to the knowledge that he's just a he's the water in the little cup. But he got enough sense to know, boy, where his source come from, boy, the big picture. And, boy, he stay, man, hooked up to the big picture, boy. He stay giving the big picture his prop, his adoration, his praise and worship, because he know that the big picture is not only the source, but the sustainer of it. Boy, God has done something. God has spoke something. God said, let's make them just like us. Let's make who? Us. All of us. Let's make them what? Just like us. He said that. And when he said that, man, and even though it ain't become that way yet, or it ain't, listen, in fact, no, he did. And then they got off course. But just because they got off course, that don't mean they're going to stop, man, God's plan and purpose and destiny for their lives. No, Lord, man, you can't stop what he's doing. I told you, as you come to the knowledge of boy, what God is doing and find out what he's doing, and you cease from your works, and you enter into boy, what his work and what he's doing, and his work is a completed work. Now, again, like I said, your life is hid in him. You're on the potter's wheel. And boy, he molded and shaped you according to his will and his plan and his purpose and his original intent and destiny and purpose for your life. How you constitute that, Arthur? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's food for thought. What are you seeking? Here, let me take it a little bit deeper. What are you seeking first? And I say it again. What are you seeking? Are you seeking a better relationship? Are you seeking, man, a better ministry? Are you seeking, man, you know, a career? Are you seeking finances? Are you seeking a better life? Are you seeking, man, truth? Are you seeking, man, peace and joy and happiness? Are you seeking, man, you know, better ministries and the ability to win souls to the kingdom of God and be a blessing to people, you know? What are you seeking? Are you seeking to be a better person? Are you seeking to be a politician? Are you seeking to be, man, whatever? What are you seeking in your life? What are you going after? And then here's the most important part of that question. What are you going after first? And whatever you're seeking, man, what's your priority? What's number one? What you going after first? Are you going after the will of God for your life? I mean the perfect will of God for your life. Are you seeking first, boy, you know, him and God? Are you putting him not second, not third, not fourth, but watch this, first place in your life? Even if it's little by little by little, man, pressing on toward that prize, man, where you're getting, man, we be coming to the places where we are beginning to get our priorities in life. What are our priorities? Well, seek first. Not second, not third. Reason why we're not seeing it in great manifestation, because perhaps we're seeking it, but are we seeking it first? Seeking what? Seeking, man, what I'm telling you on this broadcast, man, every time I come on here, that you just like God. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Is your ministry based upon, man, the establishment of the kingdom of God? It's all the messages that we proclaim to one another and all, man, our witnessing that we're doing to one another, man. It's the first priority, man, is, boy, the kingdom of God, the restoration of the kingdom of God back to our lives. Is the kingdom of God the central focus of all your messages? Is every message that we study and that we come up with and that we seek, man, to bring forth, man, to our people, boy, on a weekly basis, man? Is it under the umbrella of the kingdom of God? Is the kingdom of God is number one priority? What you mean? The reestablishment of it and the advancing of the kingdom of God back on the earth? Not what your church is doing, and not what your denomination is doing, and not what God is doing.
Are you teaching the man of God, people man, what he doing or what we should be doing or how we ought to act or what we ought to be doing? Oh, that's inclusive in it, man, but you got to be up under the umbrella of what he doing. Because what? If we seek first, boy, and to find out what he doing and get in on what he doing, then everything else, boy, that we have need of, all the other things that we've been proclaiming to him, man, that'll start falling in place. Line up on line, precept upon precept. How that take place, Arthur, like that? You know, that's how God doing things. You know how he doing it? He doing it with his word. And that's the material that he used. And you know what take the material and create it in the earth and in the life of mankind? That's the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm going to say some things on this broadcast, you know, because I don't come on here with no pre-planned message and everything else. You know, the Lord told me a long time ago. I asked the Lord, Lord, what you want me to teach the people, you know? And he said, listen, you just be faithful to put the word on the inside of you, and I'll be faithful to pull it out of you. I say, let me show it to you. I'm going to say it to you in scripture verse so you know. Hey, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Watch. Do what, Lord? Study to show yourself approved, not unto man. I started to get the approval of God. Lord, listen, I didn't study to find out, man, what he did. I want to know, boy, Lord, why you did this. What's the reason for this? Most people read a man just want to know, man, what he did. Man, no, I want to know why he did what he did. David said, I want to know your precepts. Otherwise, all we come up with is the concepts. A whole group of ideas. But, boy, if to really have understanding of all those concepts and all those messages that we are proclaiming and how to, boy, to rightly divide that, you got to first know, boy, his precepts. What's a precept? His original idea, his original intent, his original purpose and plan and destiny. What was in his mind, man, that caused him to do or say what he said or do what he did? What's that, Arthur? That's his precept. David said, Lord, teach me your precepts, because I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But as I come to the knowledge of your precept, your original intent, what you're doing, then I can have understanding. And then if I can have understanding, then I can apply your word effectively. And when your word is applied effectively in the right way, then, man, not only will I have or be wise and have knowledge, but I have wisdom. But everything that comes with applying that knowledge effectively and the results that comes from it, the atmosphere and environment and lifestyle and the way of being and system and pattern of operation and behavior and everything else that comes from that. Applying knowledge effectively. Not just applying knowledge, but applying it effectively. Applying it in the way in which God intended for it to be applied. That's why he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. See, listen, man, that's how come we got so many different messages and so many different denominations and so many different ideologies and so many different beliefs and traditions and rituals and ceremonies, and it has really taken the place over God's word and caused us, boy, listen, to lose sight on what God is doing. What's that, boy? Because, boy, we just got a whole bunch of concepts. And when we read the Bible, we get all the different ideas. What concepts? A group of ideas. In this Bible, boy, is a whole bunch of group of ideas, a whole bunch of concepts. And if you can just, man, read it in the light of the concepts, then that's all you come up with, concepts. That's why I got so many different concepts and different ideologies and different denominations and different belief systems, man. The Catholics believe this way. The Christians believe this way. The Muslims bleed that way. The Hindus bleed this way. The Buddhists bleed that way. All a bunch of concepts. Without boy, the precept of God, the original intent. So therefore, boy, you know, listen, man, I don't know the word, but I mean, listen, here's food for thought. Do you really understand it? Some people quote the scriptures and everything else, but they don't understand it. They don't understand what's really going on and what God is really doing. That's why I say get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding. What constitutes all of that, man? Not your conduct and not your goody-goody two-shoes. If you seek first the kingdom of God, then you come. That's what all that said. That's in the kingdom of God, boy, the understanding and everything else, and the conduct and the behavior. Then you start, man, living right, man, what, from the inside out. Instead of from the outside in, trying to conform from the outside in, that ain't no bad thing. That's just, boy, a hard way. That's a hard way to go. Why? Because you're transgressing, man, God's way of doing it. What God's way of doing it, boy, God is writing on the tablet of your heart. And, boy, let me tell you something, boy, the Holy Spirit, he come, boy, and let you know every time, boy. He won't never condemn you. Now, people condemn you. Christians will condemn you. Buddhists will condemn you. Muslims will condemn you. Hindus will condemn you. Mankind will condemn you, but not the Holy Ghost. He'll come and convict you. He'll come in there and put it in your conscience, boy, and say, you know that ain't right. He ain't going to condemn you, fool, but he's going to convict you. And, boy, he allow him, boy, to convict us and understand what God is doing, boy. Let me tell you something. He'll take the word of God and whoop our behinds with. He ain't going to whoop our behinds with calamities and car wrecks and death and all that. No. He gonna use, if he gonna chastise, he gonna do it with his word. What you say, Arthur? If he chastise you, boy, he gonna chastise you with your word, with his word. And his word gonna not condemn you. His word gonna convict you and bring you to the place where in your conscience you'll go to your father and say, Father, forgive me. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Just like David did. Because David knew his precept. He said, Father, in sin was I shaped in my mother's womb and born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But forgive me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit on the inside of me. Why? So that I can fulfill your purpose and your destiny for my life. What was David's purpose? What was God's purpose and destiny for David's life? Well, listen, out of all the kings that Israel had, the people that God had, David was the greatest king out of all of them. David fought many battles, all the way back from when the lion and the bear tried to kill us, all up until Goliath, and then when he became the captain of the army of Israel, boy, he fought many, many battles, man. And, boy, I'm talking about even after he became king, boy, he continued to fight battles, man. And every battle that he fought, he won. A lot of them other kings, they lost battles, not David. Every battle that he fought, baby, he won. He knew something was, that everything is all right. That's like I told you earlier, man, how would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? Why? Because David knew God's precepts. Even in his faults and his mistakes and his weakness and his inabilities, boy, he knew that the excellency of the power was not of him, but he knew just like what Jesus knew, what? Boy, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what God doing. This ain't what I'm doing. They say, boy, Saul killed his thousand, David killed his tens of thousands. David said, no, not me. David said, just like what Jesus said, Spirit of the Lord was upon me. It wasn't me. It was the God in me. It's he that doeth the work. I'm just fit for the master's use. Yeah, but you had the man's wife killed and committed all that. Yeah, but I'm fit for the master's use. Why? Because, boy, I know his precepts. I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing even in spite of my faults and mistakes. And I just keep myself on the potter's wheel and let him continue to mold and shape me. Because when it's all said and done, boy, hey, I'm going to build a city. I might not be the one that built it, but I'm going to see to it getting built. Even I got to be the one that financed it. What city are you going to build? Jerusalem. What is that, boy? The city of peace. I told you, David, every battle that he fought, he won until, boy, all of Israel's enemy was conquered. And David's last day, boy, they lived in peace. No more enemies, no more battles to fight. Why, he won them all. Build a city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, what? City of Salam, what? Peace. City of peace. Who did that, boy? That God working through David. That wasn't David them and his ability and all that, none of them. That was God, man, establishing his kingdom through David. What he doing through David. Where you can be at peace in your life, where you can know that, boy, I'm talking about, boy, every battle that, man, you going to fight or encounter, you going to win too. Because why? The battle has already been won. You quit just quoting them scriptures and singing them songs and begin to walk and live in the reality of it. Well, that, boy, the victory is ours. That he who have begun a good work on the inside of us will complete it. How you going to do that, Arthur? It's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by my spirit. Everything that I've been sharing with you, boy, and I'm talking about it for the last couple of years that we've been doing this series on the rediscovering and the establishment and the advancement of God's kingdom back on the earth. That's what this broadcast has been about for the last 2 years. It's been a 2-year series. But boy, let me tell you something, boy. There now it's just seeds that's being sown out in the field to the radio audience, to those of you who are listening. It's a kingdom key. It's a kingdom principle. What's the kingdom of principle? The kingdom of heaven is like a sower who went out to sow, and he just sowed the seeds, man. And some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorny ground, some fell on stony ground, and some fell on good ground. I'm just scaring out the seed. The kind that fall by the wayside, that's the one that hear the word, boy, and don't understand nothing I'm saying. The devil come immediately to get that. And then got those, boy, that fall on stony ground. That's hard heart. Yeah, I hear you, but. Yeah. And that's hard. That I'm talking about, boy, and some of them don't even want to hear it. Yeah. That's stony heart. Tell a man, spit in your face. I don't even want to hear what you got to say. Then you got the man, the thorny heart. That's the one, man, that hear the word of God and say yes and amen and everything else. But boy, the cares of this world and the light and they not being, man, transformed out of this world system, man, into the kingdom of God. Boy. They just stay carnal minded. They hear the word and everything else and they shout in church and say amen to it and everything else. But then when they go back out into everyday life, man, they keep living, man, the same way. Keep thinking the same way. Keep operating the same way. Keep going around and around the wilderness the same way. Because they receive it with gladness. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the worrying about how I'm going to make it and I got to do this and this and all the circumstances and situations and symptoms that they face in everyday life on the earth. That's the cares of this world. What the devil uses, what circumstance, situation, and symptoms, and continue to dictate to them. And then you got the seed, boy, that fall on good ground. That's the ones who receive that word, who would say, yes, Lord, and would begin to seek the kingdom of God. See, listen, if you ever hear what I'm saying, this is an indication. If you might hear with these ears, but if you ever hear what I'm saying, boy, you're going to want to hear it again and again and again and again. You ain't going to want to hear it, man, all the time. If you ever hear what I'm saying, if you ever hear, man, what the word of the Lord say, you're going to want to hear that. Anybody going to have to tell you, man, tune in to my broadcast and everything else, boy, you're going to be you. If you ever hear the voice of God, boy, one day I heard the voice of God over 40 years ago, speak to my spirit, speak to my heart. And ever since then, boy, everything, man, is pursuit of that, boy. I just want to hear that again and again and again and again and again. I just want to sit at his feet, boy, and hear what thus said the Lord. If you ever hear it, I ain't talking about with these physical ears. I'm talking about, boy, if you ever hear what I'm saying, if you ever grasp what I'm saying, if they can just get bored in the place where it fall on good ground, boy, and you receive that word, boy, you'll grow up in the kingdom of God, man, and you'll go from, man, a child to a baby to a child to a teenager to a level of maturity. And, boy, I'm talking about there is all your inheritance. Everything that I've been telling you, what's your inheritance? all of the kingdom of heaven and his lifestyle and his attributes and everything that is that it consists of. That's your inheritance. And watch this. That's your inheritance right now. Not the sweet by and by. That's ours now. How come we can't get into it? Because an heir, as long as he's a child, is no different than a servant. But he's under governor and tutor. I keep bringing that up because see, the governor is the Holy Spirit. Tutor is the gift that God gave the body of Christ, the church, the fivefold ministries. You know, all our gifts and our talents and our ministering to one another and tutoring and edifying one another, the body edifying itself through the fivefold ministry and through the fivefold ministry, raising up witnesses in the church and through the members of the church, just sharing with one another. That's tutoring. The governor, that's the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of us, man, we might be tutoring, but it ain't up under the governor. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Listen, now you can be careful, man, to minister your gifts and your talents, man, through your through your sense, knowledge, reasonings. And it appeal to the soul of man and to the five sense reasoning. But, boy, the care of this world and everything else, man, when it comes, it overshadows it. But, boy, when he preached in the, oh, Lord. Hey, listen, I don't have much time left in this particular broadcast, but I just have, sometimes I get lost for words. Because I see some things, you know, and I see some things, I don't know what, I don't want to. Help me, Holy Spirit. I just want everybody to know, man, about the greatest story that's ever been told. But we, the church, all of us believers. I'm talking about all of us. Big name ones ain't all. I don't care whether you got billions of dollars and big ministers and all that. That ain't all of us. But we live in so far below our rights and privileges. I'm going to say it again. We living so far below our rights and our privileges. We living and dying, man, you know. Some of us know about it, but the majority of the people, man, that even we minister to, boy, they living and dying like mere men and mere women. When all the time, boy, we that's in that little cup, that water that's in that little cup, that we are, has the same potential and ingredients that's in that big picture. And as we come to the knowledge of that and be taught in that and allow the governor, who the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us into the reality of that, and we grow up to be sons of God then. And then, boy, we can possess our inheritance. In manifestation. Reason why it ain't being professed in us, it's being manifested in us in manifestation, but it's little by little, line upon line by line. And it got to be delegated to us, man, through the governor and the tutoring, through the fivefold ministry. When God wants you to grow up, boy, and be able to go and get your inheritance yourself, well, you don't have to go through the tutoring, you can go through the governor. Who is the governor? The Holy Spirit. He will lead and guide you into all truth. In the coming months, you know, we're going to go into another aspect of this ministry and this kingdom ministry of God to your life. Because like I told you, we ain't heard nothing yet. All you've been hearing is the introduction of it. But when we started hearing about how to function in it, how to live in it, and how to act in it, because that's what's going to constitute your growth and your development and it all being manifested in our lives. See, it can't be manifested on the earth in our lives here on the earth until it first be manifested in our lives here on the earth, on the inside of us. And in order for that to take place, then you got to grow up in the things of God, in the kingdom of God. You got to learn the functioning principles of it. It's not enough to be in the kingdom of God and know about the kingdom of God. Now that we're in it, now you got to learn the governing, the functioning principles of it. You got to learn, listen, this kingdom has laws too. And why? This law is different from the Mosaic law, what you've been brought up and trained and conditioned in it. The Mosaic law, in the kingdom, the law of the kingdom, it don't do away with the Mosaic laws. It fulfills the Mosaic laws. It fulfills the Mosaic law, boy, by re-establishing in your heart the original laws of God, the precept law, the original laws of God that was from the beginning, that's from everlasting to everlasting, those laws. The majority of believers and Christians don't know nothing about the laws of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. They don't know that. Why? Because they ain't been taught that. They've been taught great messages and everything else, but it ain't been in the light of the kingdom. That's why I paused earlier, boy. It's so hard sometimes, man, because, boy, I hear ministers and out there, and they mean well, and they got good intentions, man. But, boy, for the sake of me, I can't understand, man, how can they every message that you ought to be, boy, in the light of the kingdom of God. I'm talking about all of us. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you. If you ain't being taught the kingdom of God and won't allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the kingdom of God, then, man, listen. That's a serious indictment. How the people going to know? The people under governor and tutor. What? The governor is the Holy Spirit. What he does, he ministered to the man in the fivefold ministry. And then the fivefold ministry ministered to the people. What is the governor ministering? He ain't going to testify of himself. Jesus said, how he breathed unto him his last act that he did on the face of the earth. All the things that he did from his birth, from his announcement way back in Genesis chapter 3, to his birth, to his teaching, to the great works that he did, to his death, his burial, his resurrection. All those was good things and everything else, but all that was a means to one end, to one act, one main act. What was that, boy? Boy, his last act, boy, that he did on this earth before he went up to heaven. Major act. What he did, he grabbed his disciples, those tutors that he was going to use, that the governor's going to use, and he breathed into them what? He and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Who is that? That's the governor. But the only one that can lead us into this, what I'm talking about. Receive ye, man, the governor, the representative. And when he come, boy, listen, he ain't going to testify of himself. He going to testify of me. Let me say it simple. All the things that I taught you and for these last 3 years, he going to come, boy, and he going to revelate that to you and bring you into the reality of it. He going to lead and guide you into the truth of that. He going to testify of that. He going to bring you into remembrance of that. And he going to bring that about in your life and create that in your life. Who are the? That's the governor. And he's going to tutor you. So as you become tutor, so you become apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the rest of the people, till they become, boy, ministers of the kingdom of God. Until, boy, all of us is preaching wearing one message, and that's the same message that Jesus preached, boy. All of the kingdom of heaven is our inheritance. And it belonged to us, and it belongs to us now. Here's the invitation again. Come, all you with heavy laden. I don't care what you're going through, what you might be facing, good, the bad, the ugly. Come. Come, boy, Arthur. Come on back into the kingdom of God. Why is that important that you come into the kingdom of God first? Because when you come into the kingdom of God, then you get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. What I got to do to get there? You can't even seek first the kingdom of God. Go after God. And listen, my brother telling me that my time is up. Listen, I decree and declare over all your lives. Every need that's represented out there, boy, that through prayer and supplication, you say, make your request known to God and he hear us and he will decree and declare. I decree and declare that every request that's out there under the sound of my voice, under this influence and under this anointing that's needed, man, I decree and declare that need is met. I speak to the sicknesses and the dis-ease that's in your body, and I command it to wither and to die and to go from your body. To the brokenhearted, boy, I decree and declare, boy, that you have the heart of God and you ain't brokenhearted no more. I decree and declare that you have the victory in your life and ain't no weapon formed against you will ever be able to prosper. That God's purpose and destiny for your life will stand, baby, and that you have the victory in Christ Jesus. Listen, I decree all of the kingdom of heaven, your inheritance, as yours in the name of Jesus. And that you come into the kingdom and that you grow in the kingdom and that you possess all of God's greatness for your life. Listen, my wife Gail and I, my children, Joshua, Shanika, Tamika, Tori, And most of all, Dewan, we love you with the love of the Lord. And we pray God's blessing upon your life. Hey, stay blessed and stay tuned as we grow.